Father, I thank you because you are a good and awesome God. And Lord, I praise you because you have protected us, you've guarded us, you've been watching over this congregation and really this world as we've struggled with this virus and tried to figure out how to react and what to do. And Father, I'm sure many mistakes have been made. And there are many of us who are not even in agreement as to how we should have or should be reacting to this virus. But Lord, we pray in the midst of all of this, we would trust in you. We would find our hope in you, not in man, not in anything that man can produce. But Father, we want to hope in you, in the inheritance that you have stored up for us in heaven. And so, Father, I pray that as we dive into your word, you would help us to have that strong and everlasting hope. Please be with me as I preach and as I teach this morning. Please help me and be with all those who are listening and who are watching. Please be with them and guide them as well. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So last week, I preached a lesson called The Power of Hope. And if you haven't watched that lesson, I would encourage you to do that at some point, because what I'm going to talk about this morning kind of builds on what I talked about then. So we talked about the power of hope, and we looked at 1 Peter chapter 1. And one of the things that is so crucial for us to understand is that the Bible offers a hope that is far different from anything in this world. You see, in this world, when we talk about hope, we generally think about wishful thinking. You know, I hope the weather continues to be nice. I hope we don't get too much more rain. You know, whatever it is. But when the Bible talks about hope, it is a joyful confidence that is based in the future that God has for you. See, as a Christian, we realize God has made promises in his word. He's promised us eternal life. He's promised us forgiveness. He's promised us life and joy with him. And our hope is based in the fact that God comes through on his promises. So last week, we looked at 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to continue to look at this great and powerful scripture. So let me read it to you. I'll do a little bit of recap from what we talked about last week, in case any of you missed it or fell asleep or forgot about it. And then we will dive into our current study this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, that is undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." So if you'll remember back to last week, we talked about the fact that our biblical hope is powerful, firstly, because of the source that it has. Right? It has a divine source. Our hope, it says, comes from God. And our hope is alive because Jesus Christ is alive. We have a living hope, he says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is something to meditate on. That's something that truly is powerful. But next, I talked about the fact that our hope is powerful because of the substance of our hope. We are told that our hope contains an inheritance. We have eternal life with God awaiting us. And that is something that the Bible says is beyond imagination. We are told that the sufferings of this world are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. God tells us we have a great inheritance stored up for us in heaven. But lastly, our hope is powerful. We noticed in verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 1, because of the security of our hope. We are told that unlike things in this world, things like people and money and possessions and abilities and intelligence, whatever it is, unlike those things, our biblical hope is one that is imperishable. It never dies. It's undefiled. It never gets contaminated or ruined. And it is unfading. It never fades away. It never disappoints. It never goes anywhere. And so we have a source from God. We have the substance of our inheritance. And we have security. That imperishable hope, it says, is being kept in heaven. It's being guarded by God's power for you. But let's continue reading. And we realize that this hope is not just something that we have when everything is good, but it is something that we can have even in the midst of trials. It's a hope that we can have, yes, when things are going well, but also when maybe things are quite difficult. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. It says, "In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." Now, stop there for a moment. He says, in this you rejoice. In what? Well, in your hope, in your inheritance, in the salvation that God has for you. He says, you rejoice in that, even though, for a little while, if necessary, you're grieved by various trials. He's saying we can have joy, we can be rejoicing even in the midst of trials. Verse 7, he says, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, in this you rejoice, in your inheritance, in what God has for you. If our inheritance in heaven is not a reason to rejoice, I don't know what is. But I want you to think about for a moment a time in which you were filled with joy, a time that you rejoiced. Maybe you think back to your wedding day and you think of the joy of seeing your bride or your groom there for the first time, you know, dressed up in that way, you know, ready to be joined to one another in that commitment. Maybe you were filled with joy on that day. Or maybe you're a parent, and maybe you can remember the joy at holding your newborn child, or the joy of them learning to say, "I love you," or hugging you, or holding you close. Maybe you can think of a time when you rejoiced when something went really positive in your career. You landed that dream job. You got that promotion. You were able to accomplish what you needed to accomplish. Or maybe you rejoiced when you really did well in school, or when you did well in some sport, or maybe you got something that you'd been saving for and really longing for. Hopefully, if you're a Christian, you can remember rejoicing when you were baptized, when you were born again into the kingdom of God. But all of these situations share a common theme, and that is finding joy because of the blessings God has given us. Marriage, children, jobs, doing well in school and sports, whatever it is, all those things are blessings from God, and it is good and right that we would rejoice when God blesses us. In fact, Peter says, in this now you rejoice. But what about the situations that aren't so pleasant? What about when that spouse who you love so dearly on your wedding day gets sick or maybe even passes away? What if that happens with a child? Or what if that child hurts you, turns its back on you, is estranged from you? What if that dream job is taken away? What if you're laid off? What if you don't know how you're going to pay your bills? What if you don't do well in school or in your sport? Or what if your friends ostracize you and don't want to have anything to do with you? In the midst of trials, are you and I able to rejoice? And the Bible says, if we have hope, if we have that right biblical hope, we can rejoice even in the midst of trials, even while we're being grieved, even when all these blessings are taken away from us. We can still find joy if we have hope in God. This is where the real power of hope comes in. This is what makes hope so amazing. You see, the hope in what God has stored up for us in heaven can make the difference between whether we give up in the midst of trials or whether we carry on. Whether we meet hardship with despair or with joy. As we continue reading, we learn that these trials, whether we like it or not, are sometimes necessary for us. He says that these trials have a purifying effect on us, much like fire is used to purify gold. He says, you know, these trials, they prove the tested genuineness of your faith. And although they can be quite painful, very often we must experience that pain in order for our faith to grow. And he says that when that happens, our faith can be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I love what it says in Romans chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. He says, through him, Jesus Christ, we have obtained access by faith into this grace with which we now stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. All right, makes sense. I have a hope in heaven. I'm rejoicing. But here's where it gets tricky. Verse 3, Romans 5, verse 3. He says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. An earthly hope will put us to shame, but this hope will not. Why? He says, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, we all, each and every one of us, will experience trials and hardship at some point. All of us will have to experience something painful. But when our hope is in God, we are told that the suffering is going to produce something. It will produce endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Think about exercising for a moment. And I hate to bring that up during this time of shut-in and COVID-19, because maybe you, like me, are not really exercising as you should. I don't know if you can see this in the video, but I think I've maybe put on a few pounds since we became quarantined. And when we moved, I thought, oh, hey, I'm going to have more space now. I can set up my weights, and I can start exercising and lifting weights some more. And you know what I realized? I'm really out of shape. You know, I can't lift as much weight as I used to. I can't do it for as long as I can. And every time I go down in the basement and I lift those weights, in a few hours I start feeling kind of stiff, kind of sore. And the next day there's that pain. And the reason there is so much pain and soreness when I work out is because I haven't been doing it. I'm out of shape. I don't have endurance. But yet I must experience that pain when I lift weight in order to develop that endurance. And that endurance, in turn, is going to produce strength. And in a spiritual sense, the pain that we go through very often produces that strength of character. And that strength of character produces hope, because ultimately God is using the pain, he's using the hardship to make us stronger and to make us more like Jesus Christ. See, to be a Christian is to be a follower of Jesus. And if I am a follower of Jesus, my main goal, my main hope is to be like Him and be with Him for eternity. That's what we want as Christians. We don't simply want to be good people. We don't simply want to make it to heaven. We don't simply want to avoid hell. We want to be like Jesus and be with Him for all eternity. And God uses the hardships of life to mold us and shape us and strengthen us to be the people that we need to be. Now, I hope you don't misunderstand here. We are not saying, and I'm not saying, the Bible's not teaching that Christians don't experience pain, or that pain is no big deal, or that we enjoy hardship. No, back in 1 Peter, we are told that we grieve by these trials. And it's unrealistic for us to think that Christians don't suffer or that we don't experience great pain through our trials. But rather, the point that's being made is this: if our hope is in God, we can have joy even in the midst of trials. Because no matter what is taken away from us, no matter what pain we experience, our inheritance that is being guarded for us in heaven, that will not be taken away. If we are committed to Jesus Christ, our trials can strengthen us through hope. And it's often during these times in which everything seems to be going wrong and everything seems to be falling apart that we learn to depend on God and find our hope in Him. So, let me ask you a question. How is this trial of the coronavirus going to affect you? Of course, some people experience it in a more extreme way than others. For some people, it's just a trial of inconvenience. Maybe we don't like being home. We don't like things being closed. For some people, it is a trial of life or death. There are some people who are dying and some people who are being hospitalized and don't know whether they're going to live or die, whether they're going to make it through the next day or not. For some people, it is a trial of economic hardship. Many people have been laid off, or they aren't getting the hours they need. They're not being able to get paid like they should. There's a lot of things that make this difficult. But we need to ask the question, what kind of impact is this going to have on us and on our church? Are we, through our hope, going to use this to push forward, to press on, to have a greater faith, a greater hope, a greater love for one another? Or are we going to allow this trial to cause us to give up, or to grow weary, or to become focused on ourselves instead of focused on others? See, the choice is ours. And we're able to choose to find joy and hope in the midst of trials when we look to God and when we put our faith in Him and the inheritance He has for us. You know, I'm reminded of the story that Jesus Christ told at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. You can read about this in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. And it's of the wise and foolish builders. And if you're like me, if you grew up in the church, you may remember singing a song about this, about the wise and the foolish man. And you remember, the wise man, he built his house upon the rock. And the foolish man, he built his house upon the sand. And what happens? Well, you all know the song, right? The rains came down and the floods came up. Now, I know some of you aren't singing. You need to sing this along with me. I can tell that you're not singing along with the video, okay? The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the foolish man's house went splat. It went splat, right? The foolish man's house did not withstand the storm. It fell down. Why? Because it was not built on the rock. What's the spiritual lesson for us? Well, we're told that when we build our lives on the words of Jesus Christ, when we hear His word and obey it, we are building our house on the rock. But when we hear His word and we choose to ignore it and don't live by it, we are building our house on the sand. Now, let me ask this question. Who did the storm come to? It came to both. Both people experienced the rains. Both people experienced the floods and the winds. But it was only the man who had his hope on God that was able to withstand the storm. If our hope is a living hope built on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, built on his word and his truth, we will have a faith that carries us through the trials of this life. And as we read, results in praise and glory and honor. Let me read to you just a few more verses from 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll wrap up our lesson for this morning. Verse 8, it says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Here's a statement you and I can probably relate to in verse 8. He says, though you have not seen him. We may often look at the early church and think, well, of course they had this great faith. Of course they could have joy in trials. I mean, they had seen Jesus. They had been with him. They witnessed the miracles. They saw him after he was resurrected. Well, apparently that wasn't the case with this church or these groups of churches that Peter was writing to. He says, you haven't seen him, and you don't see him now. But yet you love him, you believe in him, and you rejoice with joy. Joy that, he says, is inexpressible and filled with glory. Isn't that amazing? That even in the midst of these various trials, they were filled with joy. They were able to obtain the outcome of their faith, the salvation of their soul, because they were continuing to look to God and set their hope on Jesus Christ. Look down at verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. He says, therefore, because of all this that we've been talking about, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, we're given a choice here. Are we going to set our hope on Jesus, or are we going to set our hope on something else? I'm convinced each and every person hopes in something. Whether it be family, whether it be a spouse, a loved one, whether it be friends, or job, or money, or possessions, or our own abilities, we all hope in something. But to truly have a hope that will withstand the storms of life, to truly have a hope that will get us through the coronavirus, that will get us through pain and suffering, that will get us through the loss of a loved one, that will get us through an economic crash, that will get us through losing a job, whatever it is, the only way to have a hope that withstands that is to set our hope in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. He says we set our hope fully on the grace that God has before us. It is not Jesus plus my bank account, Jesus plus my morality, Jesus plus my good works, Jesus plus my family. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. And if you have not found your hope in Jesus Christ, I would invite you to do so even today. Maybe you're someone who's watching who is already a Christian, but you've allowed other things to creep in and become a source of hope that ultimately will fail you. And maybe you've been tempted to give up because of some hardship that you've gone through. I would like to encourage you to set your hope fully on Jesus Christ and reach out to us. We would love to pray for you as the church. We would love to help you and encourage you. But maybe there are those who are watching who do not yet have their hope in Jesus Christ because they've never submitted to Him, because they've never come to Him in faith and repented of their sins and been baptized for the forgiveness of those sins. The Bible tells us that if we want to receive forgiveness and salvation, if we want that inheritance in heaven, we've got to receive it in the way that God has told us to receive it. If you've never done that, and you want to know more, if you want to study God's word, don't take my word for it. See what God says for himself. Open up your Bible. Read this. Look at this. And if you have questions, if you want to talk with someone about this, please don't hesitate. Send us a message on Facebook. You can email us at info@mtvchurchofchrist.com. You can call us at 740-397-0838. Please get in touch with us if you want to know more about this great hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us all, and we'll end our video for this morning. Father, I thank you so much. You are a good, awesome, and powerful God. I pray that your word would take root in our lives and that our hearts would be softened and that we would give ourselves to you wholly and completely. Help us to hope in you, Father, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of hardships. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you because you have given us so many good and wonderful things. Thank you. Please be with us now as we depart. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you all so much for joining us. I look forward to spending some time with you during the next time we have a video Bible study. I do plan on having one tonight at 5 o'clock, so I hope that you will join us for that. And we'll be talking about God's house and how we can make God's house something special. So please join us for that tonight at 5, and I look forward to seeing you then. Have a great day.